Wave to your neighbor, say good afternoon, overcomer. And those of you online, you are overcomers in the name of Jesus. We've been making the emphasis on the fact that as we hear the word of God, that hearing should lead to knowledge. And I want to reemphasize that again this morning, that we should not just come to church for the sake of it, but let what we hear increase what we know, which means we want to pay attention as we listen, and that knowledge should lead to understanding. Your eyes should be able to pop open, your heart should be able to jerk a little bit, or it could be facts or things that you knew before. No, some of what you hear as you're paying attention should be like, whoa, you just sparked that fire again. I knew that before, but I have greater understanding now. So please, let's pay attention. And that's why we encourage you to come with a pen and paper so that you can be attentive. Because it's easy to sit down in church or online and your mind is 1,000 miles away. The devil wants to do that, but he shall not get you into that in Jesus' name. You shall not be a mindless worshiper. You know what I'm saying? Or what do they call it? Absent-minded worshiper. Amen. So what you hear, you know, should lead to knowledge, and your knowledge should lead to understanding. And we say understanding should lead to faith. You understand it, then you should start believing it. Because that's the goal. That's how you grow. And then your faith should lead to what? Application. Everybody say faith should lead to application. What we mean by that is that if you believe it, if you truly believe it, the proof of it is that you act on it. Because again, the Bible tells us that what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the same scripture also tells us that faith without work is what? So if you say you believe something and you're not living it, you're not acting on it, then you don't have faith. So every one of us should begin to act on what we believe. And that's why we say that faith, therefore, should lead to application. So what you believe, act on it. We're learning something very critical now in scripture, like we've always done. Put it to practice. And then when you do that, it will lead to what? Testimonies. You have an outcome, which means you've been living an overcomer's life. So when we confess I am an overcomer, that's what we mean. We mean people who are getting results as a result of their relationship with God. And remember, we say our definition of overcomer is what? Getting the result that God wants. I don't know about you, but I'm excited as I look at the life of Abraham. He got the result that God wants in his situation. Situation was not just bad, but it was very bad. Amen? Okay. We are in Genesis chapter number 17, as we pick up from where we left off in our digging deeper quickly. You know, verse number 9 through 14 is our first consideration here today, as we're looking at the topic for today, which said covenant provides proofs that cannot be denied. Say that with me, everybody. Say covenant provides proof that cannot be denied. That's what we're looking at today. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to get to that passage today. Covenant provides proof that cannot be denied. But Genesis chapter 17, verse number 9 through 14, I said, covenant specifies responsibility. And the emphasis here is the fact that God does not just call us to treat us like babies. You know, for a baby, you give them everything. They want food, you give it to them. They want water, you give it to them. You take their clothes off, you put their clothes on them. You go wash those clothes, you iron. You do everything for them because they are babies. They don't have any responsibility. If they are not eating, you get worried. But as they grow older, guess what? You begin to give them responsibility because they are maturing now, because you want them to be men and women who grow up to be useful to themselves and be useful to everyone else. If somebody is not giving a child responsibility, he's not training that child properly. So God wants to give us responsibility so that he can train us well. We're talking about covenant relationship. And we're saying that covenant is not a means for God to give you everything you want when you want it and how you want it. That part of the process of covenant is to make you and I mature, is to help us grow. Somebody says responsibility can be pronounced responsibility, which means that you should have the ability to respond. So it should be responsibility. That each one of us, as we are growing, God is saying, you should have the ability to do what? Respond. That God gives you something, God gives you an assignment, you respond to it. Amen? So God is not punishing us by requiring us to do something. So we're saying that in covenant relationship, the things that God wants us to do and the things that God will do himself. Verse number 9, Genesis chapter 17, it said, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which ye shall keep before me, and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. God did not say, I am going to circumcise you. You think God has the power to do that? Yes, he has. He could just have spoken the word and every man will be circumcised. But no. It is your responsibility if you are interested in this pact that I'm making with you. You take that step. You take that action. Circumcise yourself and circumcise every male child. And remember that circumcision was removing the old skin from their reproductive system. And you have a reproductive organ. But you understand that it means something bigger. And I was looking at it, as I was studying, you notice that at this time, Abraham was not circumcised, but he already had a child called Ishmael. But God was ready to give him the child of promise. And he could not enter into that new level without being circumcised. Because this is a new level. Everybody say new level. Say it again. This is a new level. Everybody say new level. So every new level in a believer's life will require a level of a different action. Isaac was going to be operating in a different dimension. Ishmael was a child in the old. Because Ishmael was a child from the flesh. You know the story. But now God was giving him a son ordained from heaven. And therefore he needed circumcision. He needed to remove the old dead skin so that he can enter into this new phase. Friends, for every level God takes you to, he's going to require you, require me to do something that shows that we're really interested or prepared for it. All of you on the job, you know that when you get promotion, it comes with responsibility. Something that you were not doing before, they now add to it. Why? Because they're giving you more money now. Therefore, you do some more work. Amen? But sometimes, most of the time actually, before you get a promotion, it's because you have performed to deserve that level of elevation. Somebody else who has been there maybe donkey years before you got there might sit back there and be complaining. Why? She just came 2 years ago, they're promoting her, but I've been here 50 years and no one is promoting me. They say, show how responsible you are. God wants to move you to your next level and you will get there in the name of Jesus. Four things quickly that I want to look at under this. Number one is that covenant presents chances for growth. Everybody say that with me. Say covenant presents chances for growth. Are you ready to grow? Am I ready to grow? If my answer is yes, then take the responsibility. Take the opportunity God is giving you. That's verse number 9 of Genesis 17. Number two, covenant empowers by commitment. covenant empower you and empowers me by what? By commitment. Are you in? Yes. Are you willing to do this? Yes. Okay, fine. Then you get this level of authority. So Abraham had to be committed in order for him to get to that next level. Then number three, I said, covenant allocates guidelines. Covenant allocates guidelines, which means that you cannot do what you want when you want it and how you want it. I say, I'm working in covenant. It does not happen like that. It is not scriptural. Oh, I'm saved already. Therefore, anything I want, I can do it. No, sir. So there are guidelines that are given. And God told Abraham exactly what to do. Verse number 12 says, and he that is 8 days old, that's where it starts. No, wait until he's 20. No, wait until he's 40. No. Do it on this day. There are specific guidelines. And the interesting thing, as you read the rest of the scripture, I'm not going to get time to read that, was that as soon as God was done with Abraham, guess what? Abraham went ahead and did exactly what God said. The Bible says he was circumcised on the same day with his 13-year-old or 12-year-old Ishmael son, immediately. How long does it take you before you obey God? Oh, I know I should do it. Oh, no, yeah. But I'll get to it. But someone has said you to do something, you get to it right away. But God says you do something, guess what? You keep it and think more about it. Finally, on that point, I said, covenant must be kept as stated by God. Covenant must be kept. You don't add to it. You don't take from it. Many of us will obey our supervisors, our bosses, or, you know, our doctors and other people. If they say you should do something, you do it exactly how they say. But if God says we should do something, sometimes we're looking for explanation. But and we ask no kinds of questions. But then when your human supervisors ask you to do something, you say, yes, sir, and you do it. God is greater than our human supervisors and bosses. Amen, somebody. So let's take God more serious. Covenant must be clear as stated. If you want what God wants to give you, then follow what God said. And there's no argument about that. You want God to bless you, fine. If it is God's blessing you want, then follow God's instruction. If it is your own blessing you want, okay, then do what you want. Point number two, covenant overlooks human weaknesses. Genesis chapter 17, from 17 to 22. Interesting story. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? The scripture says, Abraham said in his heart. Everybody say in his heart. Say one more time, say in his heart. You see, for human beings, I can be looking at your face, I can be sitting next to you, I don't know what is in your heart. But the scripture is recording here what Abraham was saying in his heart. Say, he fell on his face and he laughed. God must be a big joker. Me, 99 years old, have a child. And as if God does not know. Remember, my wife is 90 years old. And you're talking about us having children. Somebody say human weakness. Say it again, say human weakness. You see, and this is the beauty of God and the difference between God and us. God saw the man's heart. He knew that he was not saying that in unbelief, but that humanly speaking, this thing cannot work. And that's where Abraham was tied to. So I want you to understand, friends, there are things that are humanly impossible. No, actually, I should say, there are many things that are humanly impossible. Now, you see, if everything is within your ability, then you don't need God.
then you don't need faith. And there are people who believe that they have to eat from the sweat of their, how they call it, sweat on their back or something, pull themselves off by the boots, what do you call it, the string, bootstraps, whatever that is. They depend on themselves and themselves alone. But if that's how you want to walk, then fine. But God says, I want to help you. God says, I want to open a door for you. God says, I want to bless you. And that's why he comes into this covenant relationship with us. But Abraham could not take it. Even though he was a man of faith, he looked so ridiculous. 99-year-old man. I'm still going to have a child? God, are you kidding me? But God overlooked that. The Bible says he knows that we are flesh. He knows that. So God knows when we believe him and when we don't believe. He knows when, it's not that we don't believe, but that our mind cannot just take it. It's too big. Our mind is too small. But hear me, friends. Look at how the conversation went. God and Abraham seem to be going back and forth on this. Verse number 18, Genesis chapter 17. And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Can you picture that? You know, it's easy for us to just read that, but just picture that. So after Abraham finished laughing and saying what he said in his heart, he now said, "God, can I make a suggestion to you? Look at what you're saying and look at the reality of it. What you're saying doesn't make sense, God. I'm 99 years old. My wife is 90 years old. The son you're talking about is not even on the radar yet. But let me give you a suggestion, God. I already have a child here. How about let's use this one? Put your blessing on him and forget about this future child you're talking about. I don't know what your situation is. And you look at yourself and you say, that one there cannot happen. I know the Bible says it can happen, but maybe not for me. Tell your neighbor for me, don't write yourself out. Say it again. Don't write yourself out. Abraham was literally writing himself out of this blessing. But you see, because God was so determined, and this is the beauty of a covenant relationship. You are back out, but God will never back out of a covenant relationship. You might be dreaming, but God never dwindles when you are in a covenant relationship with him. Abraham was backing out. God said, "No, I see Ishmael, but I'm speaking of Isaac." God is going to give you a reason to laugh. I said, God is going to give you a reason to laugh. Even if it doesn't make sense to your human thinking. God says, "I insist. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to prove myself beyond every doubt that I can do it." Whatever God says he will do, friends, he will do it. Whatever God says he will do, friends, he will do it. Three things quickly here so we can move on to our final point. Number one, do not focus on what you know, but what he says. Say that with me. Say, do not focus on what you know, but on what he says. You see, our human senses are very limited. And many of us operate by that. If you do that, you'll miss out on what God has for you. Number two, do not express your fears. You might have to live with them. The man's fear was that this thing might not work. So let us use Ishmael. So when he interceded, made requests, pleaded, asked for Ishmael, God said, "Okay, as for Ishmael, I've heard. And if you notice, God said, okay, I'm going to bless Ishmael as well. But my covenant is going to be with Isaac. Friends, because of Abraham's insistence, Ishmael expanded and prospered. And you all know, spiritually speaking, Ishmael is still giving problem today. You might live with your confession. That's why you want to be careful what you say. I was saying earlier on that, you know, some people, for example, it's headache they have. And they say this headache is going to kill them. They say it's never going to go away. This problem is never going to change. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. Guess what? You'll get it. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Next point, quickly. See on the red. It is the fact that I said, do not end your future by your present circumstance. It is not over for you until God says it's over. Okay, I said again, it is not over until God says it's over. Or somebody says you cannot do this because you don't have this. Just say thank you and move on. Somebody says, look at the facts. The facts are facts. But you don't operate on facts. We operate on truth. We operate on faith. So Abraham was almost losing his future by the facts. I'm too old. My wife is too old. Doctors after doctors. Remember, Abraham was a rich man. If they had doctors in the land, then he'd gone to every expert in the land because he could pay for it. He could even have built an hospital in the back of his house and employ the best doctors there. So all the doctors have said, this thing cannot happen with Sarah. No. Don't close the door to your future, friends. I was saying earlier again, the fact that we are in this interesting period of COVID, where when you turn on the news, they're telling you how many millions of people are filing for unemployment, how many millions of people are out of job, and how many companies are saying that they're going to terminate more and more staff. And then you conclude that because of that, you cannot get a job. It is a lie. Because even in the midst of this, people are still getting jobs. Even in the midst of this, people are still making big money. If others are doing that, how about you who is a child of God? God can open a door for you in the midst of a pandemic. God can say, do a miracle for you. Those doors that men say are closed, if God doesn't say they are closed, they are not closed. COVID doesn't have the final word. God has the final word. But are you willing to believe him? Am I willing to believe him? That's why coming to church and reading the word, and we go back out there, and it's like we drop what we heard. And we just go back and be living exactly how we've been living before. Then what's the benefit of worshiping God? What's the benefit of coming to church if you're not going to apply what you're learning? That's not something I can do for you. That's not something God can even do for you. He gives you the opportunity to hear it, but it is your challenge, your responsibility to apply it. God says, put me to test and see if I will disappoint you. Point number three is our final point for today. I'm able to get to Genesis chapter 21 now. And I say this. Covenant overpowers obstacles. Everybody say that with me. Say covenant overpowers obstacles. Don't you just love that? I'm not saying obstacles are not strong. If you understand the word overpower, it means that you might be facing difficult situations. So nobody says those situations are not strong. That's not what anybody's saying. But a covenant relationship is stronger than any challenge that you're facing. Amen. Look at what the scripture says. Let's get to it quickly. Genesis chapter 21. I love this scripture. The Bible says in verse number 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he has said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Double emphasis. He said it, he spoke it, he did it. That's intentional pause. I said again, he said it, he spoke it, he did it. Part of the challenge some of us have is that we cannot pin anything down that God has said to us. What has God said to you? What are you asking God for? What are you praying for? I've told you again and again, praying, God bless me, God bless me, is a good prayer, but it's not good enough. Remember that over this number of years, in addition to all the blessings of land and expansion that God has been promising Abraham, he's been emphasizing, I will give you a child. I will give you a child. And it's not just a child, I will give you a son. And from that son, the generation that are going to come, my blessing is going to be on them. So be specific as you pray. And go back again asking, like that woman in Luke 18. She came with the same request. What do you want? Somebody's taking my land. I want my land back. Get out of my court. She leaves. Next day she comes back. What do you want, woman? Somebody's taking my land. I want my land back. I told you don't come here again. Leave. She leaves. Next day she comes back. What do you want in my court, woman? I told you, George, I want my land back. George said, this kind of woman? No. Where are the officers? Follow her. Find every man who's on her land. Get them out for her and give her her land. Amen, somebody. Tell your neighbor, insist. Tell your neighbor, insist. You have to insist. Sometimes the devil is like a deaf and dumb dog. He can't hear, he can't speak. He speaks to him. But you have to be stronger and more determined than the devil. And stay on it. 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 Devil, I say, leave, it belong to me. Satan, I say, leave, it is mine. In the name of Jesus, I stay on it. I stay on it. I stay on it. And the heavens will watch and say, look, this woman has been here for a long time. This man has been making this request for a long time. Release the angels. Go there and answer her prayer. It's a key for breaking barriers. Because sometimes some of us think you just kick a strong wall and it didn't come down. No, you have to kick it again and 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 kick it again. And by the time you know it, you are making a dent on it and the thing is beginning to break and you kick it again and kick it again and it comes down. So friends, the Bible says God said it, he spoke it, he did it. Don't give up. You're in a covenant relationship. It's like myself and my friend Elisha going somewhere. If he holds my hand and there is something happening, what do you think happens? Chances are that his small hand will leave my hand. But if my hand holds his hand, he is more secure. Because when anything happens, guess what? I can grab him and carry him. That's where you are when you're in a covenant relationship. You're not the one holding God's hand. It is God holding your hand. God will not let you go. I know you understand that. So God refused to let Abraham go, even though his faith at some point couldn't carry him. God held on to his promise. Amen, somebody. So friends, don't let physical situations speak your future. Let the word speak your future. Five things quickly. All of them beginning with the letter C. Let me just cover that and we'll get ready to pray. Number one, the Lord comes as convenated. The Lord comes as he convenated. Remember, it's a covenant relationship. Verse number one, he says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he spoke. Number two, the Lord causes Sarah to conceive. The Lord does what? Causes Sarah to conceive. I don't have time, but those of you who are women, and almost everyone here, you understand what the process of conception is. A seed is sown, but it takes a time to grow. You see, you cannot give birth in the natural until you conceive. Okay, stay with me on this. Even if you are a surrogate mother, you still have to carry a pregnancy. Am I right? Okay, good. In the spiritual, the same principle applies. You're wondering, why have I not given birth yet? It's because you've not yet started pregnancy. You're not carrying anything. You're not laboring over anything. There's nothing growing in your spirit. There's no place on your altar where you go to and say, this baby is yet to come. And I'm standing here until that baby comes. And you go to wherever you want, you come back. I say, Father, this one here is my request. It has not come yet. I'm not giving up. This baby has to come. And you insist. Because you're carrying a pregnancy and you keep going there and you begin to see God do something and you keep insisting, you keep making a request. And guess what? In your spirit, they begin to grow bigger, they begin to grow stronger, and you insist and you press and you ask and you knock until it becomes real to you. Friends, understand what faith is. I will tell us in Hebrews. He says it is the evidence of things hoped for. Now listen, the things that are not seen, how can you have a proof of them? What the scripture means is this: when that situation or that request becomes so real to you in the spirit, as if it has already happened spiritually, you keep back to it. Sarah still had to conceive. And that's one thing I talk about with scripture, we skip over. God has been making this promise all these years. Why did Sarah still have to carry it? Why did she still have to be pregnant? How about she just go to bed? And next day, a baby shows up. How about that, God? Why did she have to pass through the process? But you see, the joy of the woman is fuller and complete here. That's not English, that's my making that up, okay? More complete, okay? When she actually enjoys. Can you imagine how over those months, Sarah will wake up, she's tired, she's dragging her feet at 90 years old. But there's a joy because something is going on. Because something is coming up. And so she can rub it. She can touch it. She can speak to it. She can prophesy to it. Because she knows now, it's not just a faith thing now. It's beginning to grow. Something needs to be growing inside of you. You cannot give birth until you have carried a pregnancy. Whether you're a man or woman. What I mean is this. If you don't have a body, you don't have something you're holding on to. Miracles are not magic. Okay, I said again. Miracles are not what? Magic. There's a magician that will bring a white handkerchief. You see them on television. They'll shake it, see it? And then they will wrap it up and do some whatever they do. And a white dove flies out of it. And the dove and I become a bird or something. God doesn't know magic. God does miracles. Next one, shall we continue? Look at what the scripture tells us. After Abraham conceived, excuse me, Sarah conceived in verse number 2. The scripture now tells us Abraham, in obedience, called the child the name that God called him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born unto him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. Amen. Tell somebody, call him a name. Okay, let's finish this. Say, call him a name, call him a name, call him a name. And let your name agree with what God says. Amen. Abraham could have said, you know what, like they say, do in our modern day, where he is Abraham Jr. You know, Abraham number 2. And then the next one will be Abraham number 3. But that's not what God said. He did not say he's going to be Abraham Jr. His name is going to be Isaac. Laughter. God will give you reason to laugh. But I'm saying to you, friends, when you speak in agreement with what God is saying, you get God's result, you get God's blessing. Next point, next point, next point. Still looking at those verses quickly. You notice what happened, and I love this. The Bible says, and Abraham circumcised the child. Remember, God has said that before. It's only a year ago now. He's been sanctified, circumcised already. And the Bible now said he also did what? An obedience action. He circumcised. Somebody would have said, okay, you know, God said that. I did that already. There's no need for this. No. 8 days later, he circumcised Isaac. And finally, verse number 8. Let's have it there if we can. And then we're going to read that and pray. Verse number 8, Genesis chapter 21. Beautiful scripture. Everybody read. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Somebody say there was a celebration. Say there was a celebration. Say one more time. Say there was a celebration. And that's what I want to prophesy over here as we pray today. There will be a celebration in your house. I said there will be a celebration in your house. The thing that has been holding us. God is going to give you a reason to celebrate. You will have people coming to rejoice with you because the God who promised, he will show up and he will give you a reason to celebrate. Let me hear somebody say, I will celebrate. Say that you believe it. Say, I will celebrate. There was a celebration in the house of a 100-year-old man. Hey, brother, what are you celebrating? I just have a baby. What? Sarah, why are you dancing? I just had a baby. I can imagine Abraham being a rich man. How awesome that celebration was. The day that the child was weaned, nobody in the scripture that I know apart from Abraham had a party for a child. The day he was weaned, the day he stopped breastfeeding. Friends, let's pray together. I want you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying as we continue to explore this so critical doctrine of the scripture that we have overlooked for a long time. We're going to explore it further. Covenant relationships are the most powerful in scripture from Genesis to Revelation. We have not explored them enough. We're going to explore them a little further. Amen. So you understand how powerful covenants can be. That if you are in a covenant relationship and you maintain your part, 100% guarantee that God will always be there to show up. Go ahead, talk to God, talk to God, talk to God as we pray. What are you asking God for? What are you carrying as a pregnancy? What is it? If you don't have a body in your hand, just go ahead and ask God for something. Maybe for you it's a personal thing. It's a healing thing. It's somebody's salvation. All of them, you can put that together. Nothing is too much for God, friends. But don't just talk to God and say, God, bless me. That's not good enough. So go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Be specific. God, this is what I'm asking for. And I'm going to keep asking. And I'm going to continue to stand on your word. Go ahead, open your mouth and be specific. Go ahead, make a declaration. If you did it for Abraham, you can do it for me. If you did it for Sarah, you can do it for me. If you did it for Elizabeth and for Zechariah, you can do it for me. Ruth came from nowhere. But she believed. You did it for Ruth. You can do it for me. You did it for David. He had no military training. He brought down the greatest military man in his day with a sling and a stone. You are the same God. You are the same God. You are the same God. He did it for the children of Israel. He brought down the walls of Jericho. He said they couldn't go up, but they spoke. They danced. They ran around that Jericho wall like crazy people. And the wall came down. The wall is going to come down. Talk to God, talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. You are in a better covenant than they had. In the name of Jesus, I speak, Lord God, as your people pray, as they make their request of God. Your word says we should make our request known unto you. So as your people bring their request, you are the covenant-keeping God. There's no one like you. Let your people have reason to celebrate. In no distant time, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Open your hands, everybody who's here, even those who are online. Just go ahead and stretch your hands open. My understanding is that you are presenting everything to God with your hands open. Just open your hands because He knows everything that you have asked for. I'm just going to pray a prayer of agreement with you quickly. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I stretch my hand over your people, both those in the house and those online. And whatever the requests are, as their hands are open, we are declaring that these issues and needs and desires and expectations, they're open before you. Lord, you did not disappoint Abraham. You did not disappoint Sarah. In spite of the difficulty of their situation, you proved that you were God. Even when they gave up, you did not give up. So thank you for reviving the dreams of your people. Yes, even things that they were praying for before when I stopped, you put them back on the list because there are no impossibilities with you. No matter what we're seeing in the physical, all the signs might be pointing in the opposite direction. But we still believe. So I speak in the name of Jesus, the covenant keeping God, the one that never broken a promise. I speak that you enter into each of these situations. The requests of your people. Lord, I move them from their hearts into your hands. Because you are the one who can perform what you say. Let your people, in no distant time, have reason to come back to the house to testify that what you said you would do, that you did it. Do it and receive the glory. In the name of Jesus, I break the chains of unbelief. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of doubt. In the name of Jesus, I come against every device of the devil I bring them all under subjection to the obedience of the name of Jesus. Satan, if you couldn't stop God from bringing Isaac, you would not be able to stop God from bringing laughter to each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to the last Sunday of the month. We declare the remaining days of this month, glorious days. As we enter into the month of August, we declare the 8th month of August is a new beginning. That's what number 8 represents. That we will enter into a fresh start with you. That you begin to do things that are beyond our comprehension as men and women. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people shout aloud, amen. Father, I declare this element sanctified. As we take the bread and the wine, Lord, to seal the fact that we're in a covenant relationship with you. Lord God of heaven, we declare it will be strength for our spiritual mind and healing to our physical body. We declare that the blood will be a sanctifying agent, that everything and anything that's in our body that should not be there. And as we take this wine, it flushes it out. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people shout aloud, amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll just follow the direction of the ushers.